Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional and an author from Atlanta, Georgia, USA, Mr. Brian Will. Brian, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ashutosh. I am excited to be on your podcast today. Yeah. This is awesome.
Thank you. Brian is a best-selling author. He's a serial entrepreneur and industry expert in sales and management consulting. So, Brian, before we talk about entrepreneurship and sales management, tell me about your own amazing journey in brief.
Gosh, my journey, as I like to say, is the most unconventionally educated journey I've heard of. Mm-hmm. And it started about 35 years ago with my first company, which was in landscaping, because I didn't go to college. I didn't do well in high school. I was actually failed out when I was 16. Mm. So I got into a blue collar company. I built it up. It failed. Everything fell apart, lost everything, had to start all over again when I was 29. Mm. And then got into the insurance business randomly, ended up building the first direct to consumer call center in America for the health insurance industry. Mm. Sold that to a venture capital firm. Did it again, built another one, which is an online insurance agency, which today is a state-based ACA enrollment platform for about 9 different states. We sold that to a venture capital firm. Mm. Did another company, which was online marketing. We sold that to a private equity firm. Mm. And then I wrote 4 books, and I bought a restaurant chain, and I got into real estate, and I ran for politics, got to sit on city council.
Wow.
I did so many things, I lose track of them sometimes.
Amazing. Quite an amazing journey you've had. But let's talk a little bit now about entrepreneurship. You know, you started your first business at a very young age. Tell me, for our viewers and listeners, what were some of the key lessons you learned about entrepreneurship?
You know, when I started that business, I had no idea what I was doing. So we really built it out of just grind and hustle. I worked all day, every day, 7 days a week, as I said, dark to dark. And I managed to build some success, but I also failed to understand a lot of the lessons and what it takes to scale a business properly so that it will sustain itself. Mm-hmm. And when that business fell apart, the 2 main reasons it fell apart were I had a very concentrated percentage of my business in one client, which is a huge mistake for any business. Mm-hmm. And then when that client fired me, we still had all the infrastructure and overhead, employees and everything to sustain a much, much bigger business, but we had 80% less revenue. Mm. The second lesson in that is that we didn't, and when we lost all that revenue, I had never set aside enough cash resources to protect me in the case of exactly what happened to me. Mm. Because I had increased my lifestyle over that period of time. As I call it, I lived at 100% of my income. Mm. And then when we lost that large client, we lost all that revenue, I couldn't pay my bills. Mm. And we ended up losing everything. I mean, it was a complete disaster meltdown. So never get too concentrated in one client and always have financial resources to back yourself up so that you can't get hurt.
Amazing.
There's a big blip in your business.
Great lessons. And after your first business, you've done many other businesses. How has your approach to entrepreneurship evolved over the years?
You know, after that, when I got into the insurance business, of course, I didn't know I could sell at the time, but turned out I was a pretty good salesperson. But I've always called myself ambitiously lazy. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, I'm willing to work really hard to try to figure out how to not have to work hard. Mm. And so just through a series of, hey, what if we do this? And hey, what if we do this? Mm. And hey, what if we do this? We actually figured out how to do something that had never been done. And that was sell over the phone. And back then by fax machine, because we didn't have the internet. Mm. But because we figured out how to do it virtually, when the internet popped up and really took off in 1999, companies started coming after us and looking to acquire us because we had something nobody had. Mm. And that really introduced me to the venture capital world, which I started learning how to navigate through, which led me to private equity, which I started learning how to navigate through. And as I like to say, success is a progression in anything you do. And most companies that start don't end up doing exactly what they thought they were going to do when they started.
Right.
And I didn't either. And most people start, much like yourself, doing something, but end up doing something completely different because you have progressed over time and you've changed and you've learned and adapted. The people that fail are the ones that never progress, never change. And they think, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And that's just not the way success works.
Amazing. Well said. Well said. You also have done multiple businesses across multiple sectors. How do you assess the viability of a business in a new industry?
You know, here's another one. I hate to say this because it might not fit the narrative, but I had no idea what I was doing every single time I started a new business. I like to say I just wasn't smart enough to know that it was a bad idea. So, but we got in there and we did it anyway. And my particular specialty in business is not technical. My specialty is operations and sales. So if you are good at operations and sales, you can literally plug into almost any business and figure out how to run and grow it. As I like to say, I'm not the technician. I'm not the internet. We had an internet company. I'm not an internet guy. We had an insurance company. I'm not the insurance guy. You know, I have a real estate company. I'm not the real estate guy. I own a chain of restaurants. I don't know how to cook. But what I do know is how to sit behind the scenes and do profit and loss analysis on P&Ls. I know how to build sales organizations and do sales tracking.
Right.
So everything I've ever done is behind the scenes, pushing the business forward, not the technical side of whatever the business does.
Amazing. Great response. Thank you. My next question, Brian, is what qualities do you look for in team members when you're building a startup?
This is literally the toughest one because the most important thing to me, particularly in my executive teams, is loyalty. I will take loyalty over talent any day of the week. And I'll be honest with you, when I was younger, 20 years ago, when I was pushing up through the ranks in the early venture capital, I was the guy that thought talent was the most important thing. And I would run over other people in order to get a job done, not understanding that the collaboration is required in order for you to scale at any size. And so that was the lesson I had to learn, was collaboration over just pushing through and loyalty to the organization as opposed to loyalty to yourself. So if I can find an employee that's going to go on the ride with me, that's going to push with me and stand right beside me, that to me is more important than somebody who knows everything about everything.
Well said, well said. And when it comes to managing risk in new ventures, especially because you just mentioned that, you know, you're the person who knows how to manage the profit and loss account, what strategies do you employ for mitigating risk?
So there is a difference in this answer. Today, I mitigate risk by not risking my assets. I will only risk my income in a venture, right? And so to qualify that, I've got all these assets over here that generate a lot of income. I'm not going to risk those in a new business, but I will risk every single dollar of the income coming off of those assets because I know I'll get more money if I lose that. And I'll get more money again if I lose the next one. Now, contrast that back in the beginning where I risked everything because I literally had nothing to lose. So I think as you start out, there's nothing to lose. You risk it. But as you start acquiring assets, your risk mitigation level goes down.
Yeah.
And you only start, in my case, I start risking income as opposed to being able to get wiped out, which has happened to me. And I never want to happen that again.
Well said. Well said. And at what stage do you look for an exit from their investments?
Okay, this is another interesting one because I have been accused by people who want to do business with me of, you're just going to build this and sell it. Yes, that is exactly right. I started this business to sell it. And honestly, I don't normally push for a sale, but if you're out in the community and people know who you are and they know what you're building and you've built something good and solid and profitable, people will approach you. And when people come and offer me money, I tend to take it. I'm not the guy that's going to stick around and build a billion-dollar company. I don't know how to build a billion-dollar company. I don't pretend to. I can build a company from zero to 30 or 40 million. And after that, it's a different skill level than I've got. So I'll dump that company and move on.
Excellent. And, you know, I don't come across too many people who are so clear in this particular area. And I thank you for articulating it so well. Two more questions relating to entrepreneurship, and then I want to move to sales management. Can you share a significant setback that you have faced? How did you overcome it, and what did you learn?
Well, we talked about the first one. The first one was a complete failure. And here's the thing about overcoming failure. First, let me say, Ashutosh, have you ever heard the saying that you have to fail to succeed?
Correct.
Have you ever heard that?
Yep.
Okay, I hate that statement. Mm-hmm. I cringe when I hear it because it is literally not true. So I'm going to go against the grain here. Failure leads to failure. If all you know how to do is fail, then you will fail again. Fail fast to succeed is wrong. Here's the key. You have to learn from the failure.
Correct.
Or you're going to fail again. Learning from failure leads to success. And by the way, you might have to learn, fail, learn, fail, learn, fail, learn, fail, learn, fail. It took me 20 years before my first company took off and I really made a lot of money because I had a lot of lessons to learn.
Yep.
And most people aren't willing to take 20 years to learn every single lesson they need in order to get to the level that they want to be at so that they can be super successful or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Everybody wants to do it immediately,
yeah,
but not everybody's capable of doing it immediately. So the key to failure is learning from the failure, post-failure analysis, I call it. What did you do wrong? How did this go down? And what are you never, ever going to do again? And then you restart. Because you can anybody can succeed as long as you're willing to figure out what you did wrong in every failure, never do that again, and go on and do it again and again and again until you succeed. I often joke that I am a 20 year overnight success because it took me 20 years. But now everybody's like, "Wow, you must be really good." Oh my gosh, you weren't there when my car got repossessed. You weren't there when I couldn't feed the kid. You weren't there when I struggled and I was up at night and I couldn't make payroll. You weren't there to watch all that. All you see today is the big house and the car and the plane and all these things. You weren't there.
Absolutely right. And when you look at yourself as an investor and you look at so many startup entrepreneurs, what emerging trends do you think young entrepreneurs should be focusing on?
Wow, there is so much more opportunity today than when I was coming up through. I didn't have the internet. Let's just start with that. Can you imagine a world where you don't have a smartphone that has literally every piece of information known to mankind at your fingertips? I don't know how we even survived back then, honestly. It just shocks me. So between having access to literally everything available, and then I like to say, if you could hire somebody in your company that had literally read every single book ever written and had access to every single successful individual in the world and all of their information, and you could ask that person questions anytime during the day and they would give you an answer, how powerful would that be? And I say, that's ChatGPT.
Yeah.
It literally knows everything. It's the most amazing idea generator I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely.
And I'm not fully versed in it, but you can literally say, here's my thought, you know, give me some ideas on how I can do such and such. And I'm not an advocate of allowing it to do everything for you, but as an idea generator, it is amazing
Absolutely.
What's available to people today. You can do anything with that. The internet and ChatGPT, you can figure out how to do anything. So your opportunities are just endless.
Very well said. So now let's talk a little bit about your expertise in sales management. How would you describe your own philosophy towards sales management?
So one of my books is called The Psychology of Sales. And I think I'm very specifically named at that because I don't like salespeople who have cheesy sales lines or high pressure or try to get people to do things they don't want to do by forcing them or belittling them. That to me is just, it's a horrible experience, and it's why some salespeople get a bad name. If you want to truly be good at sales, you need to understand the psychology about what the other person's thinking when they are engaging with you. And you need to think about how you would react if you were that person. And you were saying it to you, because if you would react negatively to whatever you're doing, then your client is going to react negatively. and your chances of getting a sale done are significantly less. So understanding why people think the way they do, why they act the way they do, and how to overcome objections, as I like to say, before the client ever has it, by building a sales process that incorporates all the known objections.
Right.
You can walk somebody through or lead them through a process to get them where they want to go by simply understanding what they're thinking. And so that's the difference in my the way I teach sales.
Great response. And Brian, how do you cultivate and maintain long-term customer relationships?
Gosh, long-term customer, this is all about making connections with clients. And if it's not you, it's somebody in your organization, or it's your organization as a whole, right? Maintaining customer relations can be done personally. It can be done through technology. If you can literally build a technology workflow or funnel for your people, particularly today with AI, where it'll actually reach out and respond to them in real time, whether it's written text, chatbot, or even voice AI, you can build a funnel that will keep people engaged with your company without even you actually having to do it.
Right.
I just went out and did a seminar with somebody, and I got out there and they were like, they had invited me and they were like, so how did you like our AI chatbot invite? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you realize you were never talking to me. I was like, I never talked to you. He goes, no, you were literally talking to our AI the entire time. This is the first time we've spoken.
Wow. Amazing.
Okay, that's incredible.
Amazing. Amazing. My next question, Brian, is how has the approach to sales management changed with advancement in technology that you just spoke about and shifts in market trends? I mean, now everything seems to be online, e-commerce, and review-based.
So the biggest change from a sales perspective or sales management perspective with a customer is, again, let's go back to where I was 25 years ago when there was no internet.
Mm-hmm.
When I would talk to somebody about my product, I was the only source of information they had. Today, they can literally pick up their cell phone and find out everything they need to know about the product, the price, my competitors. They know as much about this product as I do if they've done 10 minutes worth of research. And that is a new battle that we have to fight in the sales environment.
Yep.
When your customer knows everything about your product and you can't fool them, you can't tell them stuff that's not true, because all they got to do is click on a button and they're going to know that you're not truthful. So from the customer perspective, it's an unbelievable amount of knowledge. So you've got to really get in and learn that psychology. But from a sales management standpoint, again, we didn't have all of the technology back then that we have available today. And so the way I manage sales teams, this is different than I've never seen an organization have this until I did it. And we do what's called bottom-up P&L management instead of top-down. And so we start with the sales force, because the sales force generates 100% of your revenue. So if the sales force generates 100% of your revenue, and that's spread out over 50 people, you literally have 50 individual profit and loss statements across your entire sales force. And so if you start managing those little individual profit and loss statements, you can find out which people are making money, which people are breaking even, which people are losing money, which allows you to redirect marketing dollars to your highest producers, your most profitable people. It allows you to lower overhead and infrastructure by not employing people that don't make money. And all this can be managed through technology by simply building out the program that you only have to plug a few numbers in each week, and it just spits out all this data that you don't have to go in and figure out anymore. I personally don't manage salespeople as much on what I think or feel they're doing as much as I do the profitability of that salesperson, which all ties back to your P&L statements, gets back into your accounting systems and the way we track stuff.
Wonderful. Time for one more question, Brian. And this, for all the people who will listen to our conversation, and they would, you know, I'm sure they'll learn a lot from everything that you've told us so far. But my question is, based on your amazing journey, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away?
If you want to be an entrepreneur, understand that you can succeed as long as you're willing to learn everything there is to learn for you to get from where you are to where you want to go. And by the way, everybody starts their entrepreneurial journey differently. You had an amazing background before you got into your entrepreneur journey, and that puts you 50 steps ahead of me. When I started my journey, I was 21 years old, and I didn't have a clue. So everybody starts their journey at a different place based on their background, their experience, their knowledge, their capital, their friends, their resource. Everybody starts someplace different. Don't compare yourself to anybody else.
Yeah.
As we like to say, don't compare your page one to somebody else's page 20. And then understand that you have to go through and learn everything you need to learn in order for you to be successful. But you can do it if you don't quit. That's my biggest one. How many was I supposed to give you? I forgot.
You can give me two or three, whatever you want.
Okay, so the first one is you can do it if you're willing to stick to it. It took me 20 years. If you're not willing to go 20 years, then I don't know, maybe you shouldn't try it.
Yeah.
So number one, you can do it. Number two, one of the things you're going to have to understand if you're going to do it, and this is one of my, I call it the five keys to success. And the number one key, and I'll tell you this, you better have a really, really strong why. Why are you doing this? Particularly if you're not starting off with a lot of money and resources, because business is hard. And the world is not on your side, and people are going to try and tear you down. And so your why am I doing this, has to be so strong that you can let that stuff roll off and you can continue to push through to learn those lessons. If your why is not strong, you will cave in and collapse at the first sign of distress, and you'll go back to doing what you're doing, and you will have been a wannabe. You started, but the why wasn't strong enough, and you weren't willing to go through what it takes. So those are really my two big things.
Fantastic. Brian, on that note, and your two amazing lessons, you can do it, but you have to stick to it. If you're not willing to stick to it, then, you know, it's better not to start. The second one, which is so powerful and so important, you must have a strong why. I think this is a message that I'm sure all our viewers and listeners will take away. Thank you, Brian, for speaking to me about your own amazing journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of entrepreneurship. I love the way you said, use the term ambitiously lazy. Thank you for talking to me about how you're managing so many different kind of roles, how you're mitigating risk. Thank you also for some amazing thoughts on management, sales management, and how you're managing so many people. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Ashutosh. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.